But we began to talk about prophecy. And one of the things that I showed you, and I'm going to really get practical today, but we need the people in these seats understanding how to flow in this gift called prophecy. And what I showed you was the reason is, if we're going to see harvest, we need people flowing in prophecy, and Jesus showed us this. Because when he went to the woman at the well, guess what he did? My paraphrase is, he said, "Lady, you're a floozy." But what did the lady do? She went back and the whole city got one to Jesus, because Jesus functioned in the spirit of prophecy and told her where she was in her life. Well, if we begin to teach people how to hear God, how to function in the gift of prophecy, guess what will happen? Harvest. Because you'll be at Walmart somewhere. I guess Walmart is the well today. You go to Walmart and the Lord begins to speak to you about somebody. And why don't you go pray? I think you need to go pray for that person. And you go pray for that person. And hopefully you don't tell them they're a floozy. But anyway, you do whatever the Lord has you do with them. And see, that's what Jesus taught us. So I really want to go show you how this gift of prophecy operates, because I believe that it's key to seeing harvest. God wants to bring people into the church. He wants to bring people into the kingdom that have not been in the kingdom. He wants to, people, I believe that we're getting ready to see people who have never been in, two groups. People who have never been in church are all of a sudden going to come. Then I think there's another group who got into church. It was all whacked out, and they got injured and they got hurt, and now they're afraid to go. I think we're going to see an increase of them coming back to the house of the Lord. So, but if that's the case, we need a mindset shift to where we don't think success in ministry is people filling pews. Success in ministry is not people filling pews. Success in ministry is people sitting in pews to get trained so they can then begin to do what God has called them to do. So we need to understand that. So we looked at prophetic anointing last week. We learned, I'm just going to briefly recap that, but we learned that prophetic anointing turns hearts of fathers to sons and sons to fathers. It prepares the way for the return of the Lord. It also... There is supernatural provision with a prophetic anointing. If you look back in Scripture, the Lord always told prophet, go here, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you, sit under this tree, I've caused birds to come and feed you there. So there is a supernatural provision aspect of this prophetic anointing. We also saw that a healing anointing accompanies a prophetic mantle. Now, if we really want to look at that, I'm not saying solely that what we did brought this man out of the hospital that we prayed for, but that's what happened. I've never done that before. But last Sunday morning, I heard the Lord say, shout his name. We all shouted his name simultaneously. We told him to wake up, if I'm not mistaken. And we shouted and told pneumonia to be gone. So, well, how could that be? Because prophetic anointing is simply hearing God. We heard that, we did it, and we have results. So, prophetic anointing confronts the issues of the culture. So now I want to talk to you. How many in here? Don't raise your hand, please. Does the scripture say for women to remain silent in the church? Does it say it? Shut up, Chandler. You can come. You can eat lunch with me today, because you're not eating lunch with Hannah. It does say it, doesn't it? Well, what in the world does that mean? Because if that's the case, we've already blown it this morning. I'm just baiting you in a little bit, because I'm going to teach you some things, I think, today. While I'm teaching about prophecy, I think I'm going to teach you some things that you haven't really seen and don't really understand. I think that when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, it can be a confusing portion of Scripture. One of the reasons being, and I'm getting ahead of myself, there's two things it says that can be confusing. Don't use tongues in a corporate setting, and women can't speak in church. Well, if you believe that, how can you possibly then believe that you can't pray in tongues in church, but women can speak in church? They're in the same scripture. So if we can't pray in tongues in church, women can't speak in church. And if women can't speak in church, there ain't going to be no church. because usually they're far ahead of men. But I'm just baiting you there. I got something I want to tell you about that. And let me say before I go into this, you know, there are a lot of different thoughts about baptism in the Holy Spirit, Spirit operating in your life. And I want to make it clear that the fact that a person has never spoken in tongues does not mean they're less of a Christian. Because if you want to go back to the series, that's where I started, showing you that someone who is saved, the Holy Spirit is living in them. So we're not, I understand that in this circle there might be various beliefs about various things. So this is not meant to be controversial. It's not meant to make you see my way. But it's meant to explain some things to you so that you understand them. And if you say tomato and I say tomato, we'll just keep saying tomato and tomato and go to heaven together. So I'm not trying to convince you of things, but I do think I'm going to show you some things in the Word about the question I ask you that you don't realize. Because, look, I've been in church since I could breathe, and the Lord just dropped a little nugget on me. So let's talk a little bit about this gift of prophecy. Where do you want to start? So, yeah, let me start there. See, here's what I'm saying then. Whether you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit or not, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the ability to get some revelation from God. You have the ability to be driving down the road and all of a sudden have the impression that you ought to do something. Now, you may not recognize that's the Holy Spirit, but it is the Holy Spirit. When we say God spoke to us, again, many of us think, the clouds rolled back and a big booming voice happened and it run us off the side of the road and said,
"Hey, this is God."
No. But see, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, whether you recognize it or not, the Scripture says when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He'll guide you into all truth. So something is on the inside of you pulling you towards something. Now, you may think you're coming up with that good idea. You're not coming up with that good idea. But because the Holy Spirit is in you, He's drawing you towards something. And whether or not you've received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, He can do that. He'll do it on a higher level with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But now let's look at some of these. If I asked you a question in this room, it's always drastically different. If I said, who in here speaks in tongues? Y'all are liars. Who in here speaks in tongues? Oh, y'all afraid to answer, aren't you? But then if I turned around and asked the same question and said, who in here prophesies? The thing would be drastically less. Why is that? If you're a person who can speak in tongues, you're also a person who should be able to prophesy. So I want to connect the dots and show you how these things are connected. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:31. See, the first thing, let's address this. This particular gift can flow through anyone. And I think sometimes we think that certain people are special. They're not. 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, "For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet." So the first thing we see in this portion of Scripture is anybody can prophesy if they have the Holy Spirit in them. They're not just a special group of people, just a few chosen ones. You should be functioning in prophecy because all can prophesy. And it's interesting, and it says why you want to prophesy, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now watch this. You may not even know that you're functioning in this prophetic gifting. But you ever had somebody come in your life and you encounter somebody, or you've got a friend and they're having trouble and you sit down with them for lunch or whatever, and all of a sudden you begin to pour into them, and when they leave they feel better? You really think you did that? No, the conversation that you were having with them, something began to flow out of you because of the Holy Spirit, and you began to comfort them. You see what it says? That they may learn and be comforted. so there was a supernatural grace on your life to comfort them, to say what they needed to hear. And see, you thought, you didn't know you were tapping into some gifting. You just thought you were that smart. No, you weren't that smart. You said what they needed to hear. Because the Holy Spirit in you used your voice. And you didn't even know you just had a supernatural experience. See, that's how simple it is. That's what I'm trying to simplify this and make it for you. It is not a big spooky thing. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Here's another thing it says, if all prophesy, in 1 Corinthians 14:24, if all prophesy and there comes in one that believes not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all. Why? Because the secrets of his heart are made manifest, so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. See, when you come into an atmosphere that's prophetic, and I get in trouble for this all the time, people think we know their business. Because the message sounds like, who told you about me? Are you hearing me? But see, when you have people who function in this gift of prophecy, it reveals the hearts of people. And when their heart is revealed, because they know you could not possibly know that, they're going to turn to Jesus. That's what happened with the woman at the well. So this gift of prophecy reveals the hearts of people. And when it does, they fall down on their face and worship God because they know you don't know how to do that. And see, if I go back to the scenario I just gave you, you didn't even know that the Holy Spirit was using you, but you had words that changed their situation. It's not uncommon for them to say, can I go to church with you? It turns them toward Him. So first of all, we've got to see that you may all prophesy. Now you have to understand, I understand this will be elementary for some of you, but you don't know as much as you think you know either. So hang in there. But you may all prophesy. So I want to make it clear though that everyone's not a prophet. We'll talk about the prophet's ministry some in the future. But everyone can prophesy, but not everybody's a prophet. Now, do you like to obey Scripture? You believe you obey Scripture? Really? Sometimes. Do you think what's in the Bible is a suggestion? Or is it a command? Now, this is what the Bible says. I'm about ready to show you what a sinner you are. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. But rather desire that you may prophesy. That's not a suggestion. He's telling us we should desire to operate in spiritual gifts and we should desire to prophesy. What he didn't say is we should desire spiritual gifts and to prophesy so we can impress people. But the reason we should desire it is so we could impact the lives of people and turn them toward Christ. But this is not a suggestion. This is the Apostle Paul saying, desire spiritual gifts and desire that you may prophesy. So then, being the good little Christian that you are, if you're not desiring to prophesy, you are not following Scripture. That's what the book says. Now let's define this thing called prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says this, he that prophesies speaks unto men. To edification, I want you to hang on to that. Who do they speak to? They speak to men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So what in the world is prophecy? Prophecy is a supernatural ability to receive and deliver a message of edification, exhortation, or comfort from God to people. That's what it is. It's a supernatural ability. You receive, whether you know it or not, you receive. That's what I'm going back to when you were talking to your friend and all of a sudden they felt better after they talked to you. Whether you realize it or not, you spoke to them and delivered to them a message of edification, exhortation, and comfort that actually was coming from God to them. So it's a supernatural ability to receive and deliver a message of edification, exhortation, and comfort from God to people. This word means to flow forth, means to bubble forth like a fountain. When you operate, okay, now I'm already helping some people. Have you ever been talking to somebody, engaged in conversation, and all of a sudden, stuff just begins to come out, flow out of you? Hello? That's what prophecy is. It's a sudden bubbling forth. You're just minding your own business. You're just having conversation. But all of a sudden, that conversation shifts and you begin to flow with something. That is the gift of prophecy in operation in your life. Hey, let me tell you something. There are a whole lot of salespeople got this gift and don't know it. You've heard all my stories about my sales career. This is what I couldn't teach a lot of people to do. They said no, and out of my mouth came exactly what I needed to say to turn that into a yes. There's an anointing. There's an anointing of prosperity on the gift of prophecy. When I was doing sales, I would answer their question before they gave me the question. That's fun. It makes it much easier. I'm not kidding you. Before they got to reject me, I already addressed what they were going to reject me about. Not because I'm that smart, because a gift was flowing in my life. I'm telling you the truth. And see, I trained up all these other agents and people. I couldn't teach them how to do that. So when I was training people, they do the work once you train them, and I'm sitting over in the seat and just minding my own business, trying to mind my own business. And they're trying to get this sale. And see, I know. So what I'd have to do is jump in and say it myself. Oh, I see. Well, you can't teach that to salespeople. For a love gift of $10,000, I will impart it to you, though. So prophecy means to flow forth, to bubble forth like a fountain. Something just springs up and starts flowing in you. It means speaking for God. It means speaking forth the mind and counsel of God. Let me put it to you on the other foot. Have you ever sat down with someone and after you talk to them, you're like, I know exactly what I need to do. And you left immediately knowing, this is what I need to do. You ever had that happen to you? Guess what you encountered? God spoke to you through someone else. So, if we're functioning in this gift of prophecy, the rule for that is it must edify, exhort, and comfort. If you're telling people how lousy they are, you're not operating in the gift of prophecy. It needs to edify, exhort, and comfort. So, I ask you then, how many pray in tongues, then I ask you how many prophesy, and it was completely different. Well, why is that? Well, let's look at this. The scripture says, here's what's going on when you pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Paul said, I'm going to do both. I'm going to pray with the spirit and I'm going to pray with the understanding also. He actually said, I'm going to sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding also. So to understand what's going on with prophecy, you have to understand what's going on with tongues. When a man prays in tongues, his spirit prays. So you have to understand you are three parts. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. When you get saved, your soul does not get saved. I hate to step in that one, but your soul's not saved. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your spirit gets saved. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in your spirit. But you still have issues in your mind, will, and emotions from all the things that you've gone through. So it says then, so the Holy Spirit comes and lives, and I showed you the egg. I used the egg to just demonstrate this. The Holy Spirit comes to live in the yolk of the egg. That's you. So when the Holy Spirit is in there, when I pray in tongues, what's happening is the yolk is communicating directly to God in a language that I can't understand. See, here's the point. The reason that it's coming from your spirit is because you don't have to be thinking about it. It's not coming from your head. You're not processing this gift of tongues through your head. Because I can mow grass and do it. I can be thinking about other stuff and that thing is still rolling out of me. Well, why is that? Because it's not coming from the mental realm. Now, I told you this. Psychologists have proven this. Psychologists have hooked people up while they're praying in tongues, and the parts of the brain that should light up are not lighting up because it's not coming from the brain. It's supernatural. So to speak in tongues is you speaking in a language you do not know directly from your spirit without knowledge in your brain. Well, what is prophecy? Prophecy is the same thing, except it's in a language you do understand. So speaking in tongues is speaking in a language from your spirit to God in a language you do not understand. Prophecy is speaking out of your mouth, coming from the same place. It's not coming from your mind, will, and emotions. It's coming from your spirit, but you're speaking in a language you do understand directly to someone to give a message from God. Do you understand that? See, it's coming from the same place. That's why if you tell me you pray in tongues but you don't prophesy, you're half-baked. You're just not stepping into the next level. Because it's coming from the same place. It's both of them is communication originating from the yolk of the egg, from the spirit of man. Do you know what you're going to say when you pray in tongues? No. See, that's where that bubbling forth comes when the gift of prophecy is in operation. When that's in you, you talk to people and they say, "Wow, that was good." And you're like, "Where did that come from?" Have you ever talked to someone and all of a sudden you were like, "Where in the world did that come from?" You weren't speaking from here. You were speaking from your spirit, just like what you do when you pray in tongues. And the reality is, well, if you pray in tongues a lot, you'll prophesy. You know why? Because what you've prayed in tongues will come out in English to someone, and that'll be prophecy. But it's still coming from the spirit, not from the mind. So this gift then is a supernatural ability for the Holy Spirit to cause you to speak out of your spirit in a language that you know, but it's still supernatural. It's not you speaking it. No, let me confuse you there. You got to say it. It's your tongue. But on the other hand, it's not originating with your thoughts. And it can be weird. And some of you are not doing it because it's weird. It scares you. When you open your mouth and stuff comes out, you're like, "Where'd that come from?" Well, you prayed and read the Word, didn't you? Then why are you shocked when something comes out? See, the fact that you're saying, "Where'd that come from?" Well, that tells you it didn't originate from here, right? That's why sometimes when I'm preaching, people look at me and say that again. I'd say, "I wish I could, because I don't know what I just said." It was flowing out of me. It was bubbling up out of me from the spirit place on the inside of me. Anybody bored or learning or something? I don't know. So I need you to understand that. So when a man prays in tongues, his spirit prays. Now, here's where we begin to get into some issues. 1 Corinthians 14:27 says, "If a man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." Well, why is that statement there? Why is he saying, don't come into the church and speak in tongues? Because you're speaking a language they don't understand, and it's unfruitful. I'm about ready to help you here in a few minutes. Tie some things together. He said that's unfruitful. But he said if you're going to do it, then somebody needs to interpret it. Why? See, if you come from more of the traditional Pentecostal realm, now we've taught people here just to flow in prophecy. But in when we were coming up through Pentecostal circles, all of a sudden, Bertha jumped up from the back. She began to release this message in tongues. And see, everybody was like, what? If that happens, okay, tomorrow, next week's speaker is going to be from Japan. Y'all show up and have a good time. Without an interpreter, I'm going home to eat. Because I got no take-home value. So here's the point. What he was saying is, if you come in and deliver a message in tongues, it's going to be unfruitful for the receiver unless you interpret it. But here's what I need you to see. So if he gives out a message in tongues, and then I interpret it, guess what I just did to you? I prophesied. Because once I give the interpretation, now I'm functioning in prophecy. I could have just functioned in prophecy to begin with and never had that message in tongues. What I'm trying to get you to see is tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. It's the same thing. Because now I've spoken to you from God in a language you can't understand. So praying in tongues is speaking to God in a language I don't understand. Prophecy is speaking to people in a language they do understand. Still both coming supernaturally from God. So guess what? He gives out a message in tongues. Then I interpret it. Once I interpret it, what am I doing? I'm speaking to men in a language that they do understand. Still, it's an utterance coming from the Holy Spirit because I'm interpreting what the Holy Spirit said to him in tongues. So tongues plus prophecy, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. Y'all are like, why are you doing this on Sunday morning? But I need to. So everything then comes through your spirit. So here's what I want to show you. Women, starting next week, don't y'all be saying nothing when you come in. This is a man-run show. Because the Bible says, y'all supposed to be quiet. Submit! You know you grew up in churches where that's what you heard. Well, let's look at this just for a minute. Can you speak in tongues in church corporately without an interpreter? Well, look at this now. I want to show you that, yes, indeed you can. The Bible does not say you can't. The distinction in this portion of Scripture is who you're speaking to. It's the issue with who you're speaking to. So look at it. In 1 Corinthians 14:6 it says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by way of revelation of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching." The issue is if I come up to Sean, I say, "Hey Sean, how you doing today?" And I just start speaking in a bunch of tongues, it is useless. What he is saying is do not be speaking to people in tongues. Because it's useless. If you don't believe that's true, I'll invite somebody that's Japanese next week and they can do the message. He is not saying don't speak in tongues, period, in church. He is saying don't. It's going to be useless if you talk to somebody in a tongue. Because they ain't going to know what you're saying. They're going to think you're crazy. Now bear with me just for a minute. So that's useless. If we all came in here and all we did is spoke in tongues for an hour and a half, hey, I'm going to somewhere to eat. There's no take-home value in it. Because the gift of tongues is not intended to speak to someone. It's intended to speak to God. And see, we've thrown out speaking in tongues at all in church because of this. No, I can pray to God in tongues anytime I want to. What I can do is be speaking to people in tongues. Because the issue's who I'm talking to. See, I can walk around here and we can do it in worship or whatever and pray in tongues to God. You're not intended to understand that. The issue's who am I talking to? I'm talking to God. Do you believe it's okay for me to pray out loud in English to God in service? See, the issue's who it's to. So then I can also pray in tongues to God. Now, if I did that for an hour and a half, it'd be a waste of time too, because you'd go home anyway. But my point is, praying in tongues is the ability to speak directly to God. I can do that anywhere I am. I can do it on the job. I can do it in the church. It's not supposed to be interpreted. It's me speaking to God. So if I can speak to God in English in church, then I can use my prayer language to speak to God. But what Paul is addressing is, if you speak to people in tongues, it's useless unless you interpret it. So the issue here is who you're talking to. Are you talking to God or are you talking to people? Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now Paul's talking about, okay, let me ask you this. Is Paul addressing church here? Is he talking about a church service? He is talking about a church service, right? So guess what he says? He says, in the church service, I will pray in an unknown tongue. He says, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. He says, what am I going to do about it then? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray in the spirit and I'm going to pray in the understanding. Both. Where at? In the corporate setting. But the issue is who I'm speaking to. So I have perfect liberty in a corporate setting to be speaking to God, because when a man prays in a tongue, he's speaking directly to God. I can do that. But if that's all I did, or if I tried to talk to you that way, it doesn't bring fruit. Now, guess what? 1 Corinthians 14:34 says women are to keep silent in the church. If you don't believe women are supposed to keep silent in church, then you know, you can't take part of this and not understand it all. You can't pick and choose. Now, have you good Pentecostal people, Baptist people, whatever you are, not wondered all your life, darn it, it does say women are not supposed to speak in church in there, so I don't know if I'm going to right church or not. We all going to hell. Have you honestly, be honest with me. Guess what? You know what I was talking about? The same thing I was always talking about. The word for speak in this portion of Scripture means to speak in some kind of a language that they don't understand. That's exactly what it means. If you don't take my word for it, go look at it. It's not talking about women talking at all. It's talking about women speaking in tongues to people. The word speak there doesn't just mean speak. It means speaking in an unknown tongue. So what he's saying is women should not be talking to people in a tongue that they don't understand. He didn't say for women not to speak at all. The Greek word for speak is speaking in an unknown language. He never said for women to be silent in the church. That old religious ugly mess, I'll just kick it out right now. No, he said, don't be talking in tongues to your neighbor, because your neighbor's going to think you're stupid. And you might be. So I just set you free from that right now. They were trying to speak, and Paul was telling them, why was he telling them to be silent? Because they were talking in tongues in the middle of his messages. They were disrupting the service in a language that nobody could understand. Now let me tell you what was going on here. I'm going to have to hurry. Man, it's only 20 after 8. 20 after 8. 20 after 12. Whew! So, you understand where I'm coming from now. It's okay to speak. Do you believe it's okay to speak to God in church? Well, Paul said, I'll speak to God in tongues and I'll speak to Him in my own language, but I'll speak to Him. But what I won't do is speak to people a bunch of gibberish. So it's okay to speak to God and communicate with Him in tongues corporately. It is prayer, you communicating directly with God. But when speaking to people, it's useless. Now, here's what was really going on. The issue was the people had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the Corinthian church, and they were excited about it, and they loved to do it, and they were just doing it all the time. They were out of excitement for the supernatural ability that they had. They were doing that instead of speaking to people in a language they could understand, and it was useless. They got excited about it. They enjoyed it. So they were doing that instead of, they were walking up to Ashley and just speaking Japanese or whatever. She's like, so, you say tomato, I say tomato. I think the word says tomato, though. So this was the meaning of him telling women not to speak. The women were speaking in tongues, bringing confusion. And it was bringing no fruit or no purpose. So, to be prophetic then means that you've learned to receive communication from God through your spirit. So prophecy is receiving a divine message from God that you can deliver to people for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And it is supernatural. So then what does it mean to be prophetic? It means a person who hears God speak to them. And it does not mean the clouds open up and he says, "You are my son. Go to Africa." God's voice sounds like Charlton Heston, I've always been told, because he went up on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. Plus, he's the head of the NRA, so that means God's okay with having guns. I've made a big jump right there. So, if anybody argues with you about guns, just tell them that. Charlton Heston got the Ten Commandments. So, and he's the head of the NRA, so, I mean, hey. Okay, let me give you a little bit more teaching. Because I want you to understand, what does it mean to be prophetic? It doesn't mean to be kooky. It doesn't mean to be fruity. It doesn't mean to act like a weirdo. It doesn't mean when you go out to lunch with somebody that doesn't know Jesus and you're sitting eating, you all of a sudden go, "Stop. Stop. Don't say anything. Give me space." No. It's God communicating with you. Lord, I am. I want to pray over you. I'm just going to pray over the whole body here in a little bit. In a minute. Hey, folks, God's communicating. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. God communicates with you. He's not Charlton Heston. The clouds don't peel back and a booming voice that vibrates through your whole body doesn't happen. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever, He has the ability to guide you into truth. And that's what prophetic anointing really is. It's just the people teaching people how to hear God because He is speaking. And if you think God quit speaking, just if all God's ever going to speak is what is written in the Bible, we're in trouble anyway. Because He didn't know I was going to be out of work in the Bible back there. He didn't know I was about ready to marry the wrong woman in that Bible back there. If He's no longer speaking, we got issues. Are you hearing me? So we've got to learn, though, how He's speaking, and He is speaking. And we're just missing it. And some of us accidentally get on track. You do exactly what God tells you to do. And you didn't know it was Him telling you. You quit a job. You start a job. You go here. You go there. Sometimes I believe it's because somebody's praying for you. It's possible for you to step into God's will because of my prayer or somebody else's prayer. And you just all of a sudden start feeling like, "I need to leave this place. I need to quit this job. I need to start my own business. Blah, blah, blah." Well, it can still be the Holy Spirit because He's speaking. Are we okay? Can I go a little farther with this teaching? So, what does it mean to be prophetic? It means God is communicating with you. And how does He communicate? Well, can I tell you something? God communicates through your five senses. You have to begin to distinguish between what's going on in your life. Is it coming from you or is it coming from Him? Because He uses your five senses. And I want to show you that. You have spiritual sight. And you think that you ate too much pizza last night. Have you ever had an experience where you're just going down the road all of a sudden, and it's just like this little flash came up, and you saw something. Anybody ever have that happen? Just a little quick picture. You might see somebody. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever been driving down the road, and just in your mind, a person flashes into your mind, and then you see them 10 minutes later? Hey, folks, what do you think was going on? Your spirit knew something your head didn't yet know. So that picture that comes to your mind is Him communicating with you. It's not weird. You don't have to be a weirdo to hear from God. You can just be you. And one way He speaks is your senses through these just mental pictures. What'd you tell me happened to you, Tony? I'm trying to remember your story that you gave me about somebody. You knew that they were going to be that. You heard somebody say something and they said it exactly. Yeah, that's what it was. Tony minded her own business. She heard a person say a couple sentences. Within a few minutes, she encountered the person and they said the exact thing. God was communicating. It wasn't weird. It wasn't strange. He's speaking to you. Now, why am I teaching you this? Because you need to start paying attention, because somebody needs saved on your job. Somebody needs healed in Walmart. So God wants to communicate to us. Now, here's the thing I got to tell you. Is God in control of the earth? No, He is not. He ain't even close. God cannot do what He wants to do in this earth. He gave control of the earth to men. The only way God can interfere in the affairs of man is to do it through another human. So what's this prophetic thing about hearing God? He wants to tell you how to interfere, because He can't interfere. I hate to burst your bubble in here today, but God can't fix everything in the earth. He don't have he put man in control of the earth. That's why we need to be able to hear Him to carry out His plans. See, if you believe that God's in control of the earth, then I don't want to serve that God. I'm trying to tell you why some people are not getting saved right now.
How could a good God let these people go to hell? How could a good God punish these people? God ain't doing it.
He gave control of the earth into the hands of men. And only way... Why do you think, don't make me do it? Why'd Jesus come to the earth? Why didn't God just make the earth okay, baby? He couldn't. He had to send a flesh and blood man to act on His behalf in the earth, because God could not change the earth without the participation of a man. God can't save Bluefield without the participation of a man. God can't heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free without the participation of a man, because man is in control of the earth. And prophetic anointing is simply God communicating to you His strategy, but you have to carry it out, because God cannot operate without a human being. So why did He tell you to desire to prophesy? So you could intervene and function and do in the earth what He desires in the heaven. Teach us to pray, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What was He telling them? I need some people in earth to get a download for what I want to do, but they have to declare it in the earth or it won't happen. See? What was He teaching us? He said, get a communication from heaven. Because I can't do anything in the earth unless somebody on earth declares it in the earth. So prophetic anointing is simply getting a message from Him and beginning to release it in the earth so that His will can get done in the earth. It was God's will for John to get out of the hospital. But God wasn't going to come down and walk in the hospital. So He said, I need somebody in the earth realm to come into agreement with what I'm saying in heaven. And if somebody in the earth will agree with what I'm saying in heaven, it shall be done. So He said, I want you to shout, John! John heard. Because we received a divine communication and executed it in the earth. If you want your life to change, if you want blessing to come upon your life, you've got to understand and begin to hear what he's saying, but you have to be the one to walk it out and say it on earth. I told you from 0 to 60. Do you get what I'm saying to you? It's important that you start hearing God. I fully believe, I'm going to do this before I leave here today. The Lord spoke to me. But I fully believe the Lord wants to prosper people. I believe there are businesses locked up in people in this room. And you want to get it? You want to prosper? Then hear him. He has strategy to prosper you. He has strategy to cause you to win. And all you got to do is come into agreement in the earth with what he's already saying in heaven. But if you don't learn how to receive his communication, some of you already been receiving his communication because your job started driving you nuts. Sometimes when your job drives you nuts, it's the Holy Ghost communicating with you. I got something else for you. I feel Jesus now. So, I guess I'll quit. But so what I'm trying to tell you is God wants to communicate with you, and that's what being prophetic is. Number one, he communicates you with spiritual sight. Number two, hearing. You can be minding your own business. Anybody ever hear anything? It didn't come from your head. It came from your spirit. You heard sometimes you hear a phrase. Sometimes you hear a simple word. Tony heard what somebody was going to say to her 10 minutes from now. Pay attention to what comes in. And see, let me explain something to you. It'll feel like it came into your mind. Start paying attention to what starts coming, what you think is in your mind. It just, boom, it's in your mind. And you think you're thinking. Well, you weren't thinking it before. The Lord brought something to your mind that you knew hadn't thought about that person for years. He's talking to you. And sometimes it's a word. If he gives you a word you don't understand, go to the dictionary. Go look up that word. I have a PhD in Google, not a PhD in D-U-M-B. But anyway, see, that's what's great about Google. You hear something, go look it up, because God's telling you something. A phrase. Where I went on Friday night, I was awakened in the middle of the night, and I heard over this church, close encounters of the God kind. God can use phrases and play on words. He'll use play on words for you. He'll use things you've heard in movies. But he's trying to communicate something to you. And you have to stop and say, okay, God, that thought come into my mind. It seemed random. You must be speaking to me. What are you saying? But God is communicating with you. Phrases. Still small voice. Smell. No, you don't realize this, but God speaks to you through smell. Some people can smell when somebody needs deliverance. They smell, it's a sulfur smell. Certain sicknesses have smells. And this is not natural. It's not in the room. It's the Holy Spirit illuminating and giving you a message on the inside, causing you to smell something. I was in a meeting with Bob Jones, Prophet Bob Jones, and he began to smell gunpowder. See, there was no gunpowder in the room. But the Holy Spirit was communicating, trying to get his attention. What are you saying, Lord? I'll tell you what I'm saying, Bob. There's an assassination attempt planned on the President of the United States, and this group of people in this room needs to stand up and begin to pray about it. God is communicating with you. Whatever you're asking him for, he said, you know, anyone that comes asking for wisdom, he'll give it. He's giving it. We're missing it. And it could be these things, these pictures, these words, touch. Touch. God uses touch. Sometimes when I'm praying over people, I don't get a thing for them until I touch them. And when I touch them, boom, I know things about them. Not because I know things about them. I never met them. The Holy Spirit knows things about them. And he begins to share that with me. Well, then why would he want to share it with me? so that I could edify, exhort, and comfort that person. Number five, taste. Some people prophetically taste, have a taste in their mouth when the Lord is telling them certain things about people. Dreams. Anybody in here dream? See, some people have been dreaming all their life and they don't even know Jesus. But it's still a gift operating in their life. Hey, God's speaking to you through your dreams. Now, some of it's pizza. But pay attention to your dreams. Right, let's go back to the testimony shared this morning. She said, I had a dream. And in the dream, we were coming to church on Sunday morning and there was a huge celebration. What was God telling her? It's going to be all right. Don't panic. Celebration's coming. You're going to win this one. God communicates through your dreams. He communicates through impressions. This is the number one way we miss Him. Because we don't think it's God because it's so simple. We're in somebody's presence and all of a sudden we just something on the inside of us says, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like He's communicating with me. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like, man, something's up with Sean today. Something just doesn't feel right. Who in here said that before? Not about Sean, but have you ever done it? And then found out they're struggling. Knucklehead, God was speaking to you. Pay attention. I know as well as I know my own name, there are people in this room, God's been communicating with you for years and you didn't recognize it. It's still impression. I just got around somebody and I felt Tim Ray right here. It's crazy. Tim's not crazy, but this is crazy. Have you ever gotten around somebody and started to feel just some kind of strange way? Like you're not sad. But all of a sudden you're like, man, I just feel so doggone. I think I'm going to go in a corner and cry. Have you done it? He's speaking to you because you got in the presence of someone. That's how they're feeling. And why would God do that? So that you can go over and speak to them edification, exhortation, and comfort and build up their life. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. What you are, He's communicating with you. He's doing these things that I'm talking about, and we're missing it. So see, I was telling you about Tim. I've seen Tim walk in a room before and just go in a fetal position. Just like he just totally lost his mind. What was he doing? He was picking up on what's in that atmosphere. He was getting an impression of what's going on. If you're an intercessor, you'll do this. So see, you have to begin to determine then if is this me or something else going on? Because if I'm as happy as I can be and all of a sudden I feel sad, that may not be my sadness. God's communicating something with me about someone. I just feel the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close here in a minute. I feel the Holy Spirit awakening some of you. You've been missing Him. Some of you have even said, I'm not prophetic. Well, no, He's been speaking to you forever through the feeling that comes over you, through the sound that comes in, through the flash that goes through your mind. And you've not recognized it as Him. But if you'll begin to respond to it, He'll bring great fruitfulness in your life. Another one is body impressions. Sometimes when you're praying for people, some people who minister under a healing anointing, I told you prophetic anointing and healing go hand in hand, their back starts to hurt. Well, my back wasn't hurting 5 minutes ago. My back's not hurting now. It's the Holy Spirit showing me there's somebody in this room that has a back issue, a head issue. Pay attention. Particularly pay attention to stuff that begins to happen when you're not thinking that way. It just 90% of the time, it's Him. If something just seems to pop into your mind or something real random and you're not even thinking about it, He's trying to tell you something 90% of the time. Body impressions. And sometimes He uses a combination. Comes to your mind out of the blue. Lots of symbolism, numbers, colors. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there. I can tell you all kinds of good stuff, but you don't need to know it. Sean? shoot, we're early. I won't comment on these, but I'm going to tell them to you. So here's the thing. I want you, so what is prophecy? Whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, even Church of God people can do this, believe it or not. Help me, Lord. We love the Church of God. If it wasn't for the Church of God, none of us would be Pentecostal. But so what is then, what am I trying to tell you? God wants the gift of prophecy to operate. Say, God wants prophecy to operate in my life. And the reason, you don't have to keep saying this, but the reason he does is so that he can give you information to share with another person to edify, exhort, and comfort them. This world's hurting. It needs comfort. And the only way that it'll get comfort is through a people who have learned to receive a divine message from him and communicate it. Do you understand that? So that's why I'm teaching. Now, when you do that, when the Lord starts to communicate with you on a greater level, and he is, because I'm going to release it in the atmosphere, you're going to get messed up in the third aisle of Walmart. You mark my words. You're going to start feeling stuff and sensing stuff, and you're going to have to deal with it. But when it happens, don't be a nut. Be you. Don't be a nut. Don't go through Walmart saying, usually the best way to begin to do this is to ask a question. See, you felt that shame. You felt that sorrow. You felt something when you went in the aisle around that person. Simply just walk up to that person and say, hey, listen, I know you don't know me, but is there anything going on that you're upset about? Is there anything going on in your life you're upset about?
How did you know? I don't even know you.
God is communicating with you. But that doesn't mean you need to be fruity, flaky, or nutty. Be a human. A lot of people are not getting saved because we're not human. We don't even... Okay. So when he begins to communicate with you so you can speak life to other people, let me tell you some things not to do. Don't ever predict timing. Don't ever say 3 weeks from now. Prophets do this. Really, I find myself doing that more now than sometimes, but I don't say April 1st, 2029. I might get an impression of several days from now or whatever, but don't give dates, because you could be wrong, and if you're wrong, you've ruined your opportunity to bless them. Don't say Friday a week from now, your husband's coming, because if you do that, Bubba's going to show up, and Bubba ain't the right Bubba, and it's going to be all on you. Because they're going to get up on Friday, and they're going to go all around the neighborhood looking for the Bubba that's supposed to come to them, and they ain't going to get Bubba, they're going to get Bozo. Don't predict timing. Understand that all personal prophecy is conditional. This is one place we get into trouble. Well, God said it and it didn't happen. Well, prophecy is conditional. You got to partner with the Word of God. God can tell you to do something and you never get up off of your blessed assurance and move toward it, and it ain't happening. Is it God's will? Yes, it's God's will, but you never move toward it. Oh, I hear you, Lord. I know as well as I know my name, there's some people in this room supposed to move toward some things. Stay away from marriage and birth. Do not predict marriages or births. I don't care. See, the scripture says the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. I don't care if you think it, you believe it with every fiber in your being. Shut up. Don't use the prophetic anointing for matchmaking. Stay away from it. Don't do it. Don't predict marriages, births, sex of children. Make sure it edifies, exhorts, and comforts. If it beats them up, beats the hell out of them, it's not true prophetic word. We want to love the hell out of them, not beat the hell out of them. That's really what I'd like for the motto, the theme of this place to be. We will love the hell out of you. If I could pull it off, I would, because I really keep coming back to it. Come to Father's House International Church, where we will love the hell out of you. I'm telling you, I just keep coming back to it. It's got to be in there somewhere. But I'm telling you, because they expect them to come to church and get the hell beat out of them. Harping on their sin. Harping on their doing the wrong thing. It'll be on Facebook before the day's out. Come to Father's House International Church, where we would love the hell out of you. Here's another problem. Prophetic people tend to see what's wrong. Hello? And when you start seeing what's wrong, if you start saying what you see that's wrong, number one, you might be wrong yourself. But if you start seeing what's wrong, the gift of prophecy is to speak to them something that edifies, exhorts, and comforts them. So even if you see something, you need to word that to them in an encouraging way. Can I tell you a story about sleeping? So Tony's in the church. Now here's an example. I hope y'all don't mind me keeping you this long, but you got to understand I'm teaching. This is school. But Tony was in a church service, and this is why people stay away from Pentecostal churches. This is why people are scared of prophets and prophetic people and spirit-filled churches. Some of y'all were afraid to come today, I guarantee you. Somebody in here was like, no. I'm going to tell you why. Look at Tony. She was in a service, and the word of the Lord to her was, the Lord shows me that you're sleeping single in a double bed. Now, is that edifying exhortation or comforting? No, that's called embarrassing. You don't do that. And I'm telling you not to do that. Of course, y'all know me. If Ed had said it to me, I'd have started singing it. There's too much country in there. I would have immediately thought, Barbara Mandrill. I can hear the music in my head right now. God don't want me to sing it. It needs to edify. Don't focus on what's wrong with people. See, some people think prophecy is the gift of rebuke. You can just run around telling people what they shouldn't be doing, rebuking them. No, it's supposed to be loving and exhorting and comforting them. Word don't give words of correction nor direction. Prophets can do that. You can. Don't be correcting people. God's not giving you the ministry of correction. He's not giving you the ministry of rebuke. He's giving you the ministry of love and reconciliation. How you speak the revelation is critical. If you see something negative, phrase it in the positive. Okay, I could have literally heard sleeping single in a double bed. There's no doubt in my mind this guy hurt God. But he hadn't been trained how to turn that another direction. So I'm here hearing, you may hear sleeping single in a double bed at Walmart. So you walk up to the person and you're like, you're not going to go up and say, you're sleeping single in a double bed. Your husband's got 14 women on the side. Ma'am, can I pray for you? And then you begin to pray and say, I just feel like the Lord wants to bring some healing in your marriage. Lord, I ask you to begin to work in your marriage. I ask that you would bless this marriage. See, now you've blessed and comforted. Because maybe the Lord showed you something negative, but you have to present it in the right way. It was a real issue. The essence of being prophetic is not calling dead bones dead, but it's speaking life to the bones that are dead and telling them to come to life. That's prophetic anointing. Prophetic. It's not prophetic for me to tell you what your issues are. It's prophetic for me to begin to prophesy that you're coming out of your issues and what the Lord wants to do in your issues. Yeah, I stole that from Rick Warnerall. How you speak is critical. I'm going to tell you another thing. Ask them if it's right. Because, I do this. I did it this weekend. I'm praying with somebody, and I'll start hearing something about their family members or something like that, and I'll say, I'm kind of sensing X, Y, Z. Does this make sense? Is this okay? And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes they say, now, 90% of the time, you're probably still hearing God. They might be not have recognized what you're saying yet. But it's okay to ask them. Like I told you walk up and say, hey, ma'am, is anything, I just get a feeling that maybe you're struggling with something. Is everything okay with you? What's wrong with that? Nothing. Probably 90% of the time, what they'll do is break down right on the spot. So ask questions. Don't be pushy. Just ask. This is good practical teaching for you. Don't prophesy your pet doctrines. Don't prophesy to people you have an issue with. I'm trying to save you some trouble. If you halfway don't like the person, I don't care what you think God's saying, shut up. Because you're going to filter it through blessing them with a brick. It ain't going to come out good, and you're not, don't act all holy. You're going to, how you feel about them is going to come out your mouth. Do not prophesy to people that you already have an issue with. Don't prophesy your pet doctrine. Don't prophesy something that speaks about a change of direction or going to a new ministry, or if you feel that and you're in a service, share that with just pray about it. Don't try to impress people. Because if you've got something on the inside of you that needs to be accepted by people and you need to have them be proud of you or like what you're saying, you'll get out of God's will and say things that are not really the prophetic word. I'm sorry here, let me finish. Don't prophesy about previously known problems and situations. You will be tempted to.